Well, some local business owners are saying their dreams of selling legalized marijuana in this province are going up in smoke. Earlier this week, the NLC rolled out its new logo and plan for Cannabis NL. CEO Sharon Sparks told us yesterday that the sale of marijuana will be regulated similar to the way tobacco and liquor sales are, and that the commission rate for independent retailers would be 8%. Now, we also heard from one business owner who had big beef with that. Ross Barney is the co-owner of High Street. He says he doesn't think the numbers make business sense anymore. On 1 pound of marijuana, Barney said he would make a profit, if selling legally, $360, while if sold on the black market, that same pound of pot would make closer to $4,500. That is 12 times more money. Public policy analysts like Ed Hollett have concerns about this. He is our senior research fellow at the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, and he's in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Ed, as you were listening to that dialogue play out yesterday, you tweeted, Barney confirmed the worst fears that government is taking the wrong approach.
Right.
What is wrong with it?
Well, when we talked about this, in fact, about a month ago, one of the things I highlighted was that in our research, we looked at jurisdictions in the United States where they had already gone down this road. And what we found was that whenever government was heavy-handed in its regulation, very restrictive and very controlling, tried to dictate price and limit the amount of accessibility there was, that the existing private market, the illegal market, continued to thrive. And by the sound of it, that's exactly what the Liquor Corporation is doing on behalf of the government. It's being highly restrictive, limiting very much the amount of money that can be made off it, but even going farther than that, and probably more importantly, limiting the number of licenses. And they issued an RFP, a request for proposals, with one store per postal code. So they wind up with a distribution of, say, one per electoral district, which most people would think about it, even if you don't have a background running a business, doesn't really make any sense. You tend to put a store where you know people are going to go. Mm-hmm. So you might have several downtown, but none in Airport Heights, because people are quite prepared to get in their car and drive from Airport Heights to a nearby location to get it. Like, same way I in West End and St. John's might drive a certain location. So this idea of forcing the distribution is even a level of over control that may well limit the ability of the government official stores to get into the private market and to break into that private market and cut it down.
And as Ross Barney had put it yesterday, I mean, when you consider jurisdiction, the A1C, of course, is the downtown. We're talking George Street. And right now, even if the NLC does plan to play by the same rules that it sells alcohol at, I mean, it's not really a level playing field when you consider that there's also bars that people can go to, right? Because you can't go to a bar and smoke, for example.
Again, to me, the idea is the problem is if you look at the way it works, is that the product is going to be legally available. There is an existing distribution system for it. It's illegal, but it works. And that's private sector retail. It's operating in the private sector, but it's underground. So while you will have one legal store downtown, you'll have multiple ways of getting it from the illicit market. So from a competitive standpoint, the illicit market's going to be able to beat. They'll probably be able to beat on price. They'll be able to beat on distribution. So what does that do to somebody like Ross, who maybe if he gets the license downtown, has one small storefront, and that's all he can operate? It may be some distance away from, because one of the things we've forgotten to factor in here, by the way, is city zoning. If I get a license to operate in a particular part of St. John's, then I have to apply to the city to get a permit, an operating permit, business license, a business permit to set up my storefront. So there's a whole other level of determining where exactly these stores are going to be physically located within these various postal codes. That's going to be another compounding problem that further limits and further restricts. And it doesn't look like the Liquor Corporation took consideration of any of these sort of factors as it was setting up. I think the model they used was not about tobacco retail, but liquor stores. And I think if you go back to the tape recording from yesterday, you'll hear that Ms. Sparks talked about using the model of their own agency stores,
right,
which tend to be piggybacked on other things like convenience stores. They're highly restricted, highly controlled, highly limited, which is exactly what this sounds like.
And as you mentioned, I mean, there's already a highly effective distribution network set up for this. So, I mean, if the objective is to knock out the black market, I want to hear your thoughts on what this 8% commission will mean for that. I mean, could this have unintended consequences?
Well, I think it's not the unintended consequence. I think this intended restrict. I think it's a fairly predictable restriction. I had a friend of mine last night who operates a small business send me a note. I think she made a comment on Facebook that the 8% would barely cover the insurance cost associated with an operation like this, where there might be a propensity to get broken into and mm-hmm. people are going to break into it. 8% is not a very big margin for anybody who operates a retail store. It's a very small amount of money. That might tend to start promoting bigger centers, which might work. But I think the real thing you have to look at here is this level of restriction. And it doesn't really exist in Alberta, for example. I use Alberta as the other extreme. Alberta has already privatized its liquor stores, so they didn't have this model to follow. But there is government distribution of alcohol to private retailers. And in Alberta, this sort of thing was just a no-brainer. They let the licenses go. And then you get down to the issue that I talked about a minute ago of where cities are going to allow these stores to exist. And they put more emphasis on the regulatory part of it, the inspections, ensuring that the retailers are selling it appropriately so children can't get access to it, as opposed to this approach that we've taken here and in other provinces, which seems to be about just trying to make it as difficult as possible to get a legal product.
You mentioned, you know, things like security costs. And even when you consider credit card fees, for example, 3-4%, I mean, that's half of your profit margin right there, without the overhead, of course. But I mean, okay, just zooming out here, what would a more reasonable set of rules look like in your mind?
I think something closer to Alberta might be what you have in mind. And if you look at Newfoundland and Labrador, what you'd be talking about is something akin to the way tobacco is retailed, or even beer. Tobacco is not necessarily a good model from a health standpoint. But if you look at it in terms of the fact that it's a private sector distribution, like there's a wholesaler that produces the product, but then it's sold in all sorts of stores, but there are restrictions on it. It's not publicly visible. It's not you have to card people before they buy it if they appear to be underage. Those are the same sorts of restrictions that you'll see. If Alberta can do it successfully, and I think Alberta will do it successfully, if British Columbia will do it with a hybrid model of some public sector sale and some private sector sale. British Columbia will do it very successfully. That's really where we should have gone. But that would take a level of planning that we haven't seen here in Newfoundland and Labrador. But it would also take a certain attitude towards it. I think the attitude that's been pervasive from the beginning here has been that this is an inconvenience, that this is something they have to do, but that they're going to maintain the old attitude, because you tend to see the police mentality of restriction and control and limitation, or expressed in the liquor corporation's approach, which operates a monopoly. It doesn't have to deal with anybody. They can charge whatever price they want to it, and there is no real alternative to it. One of the consequences of that, by the way, is that with liquor, you have a huge amount of enforcement in fighting smuggling, which is the other way that this might lead. If you want to cut into the market, one of the ways of going, of course, is to drive up the cost of enforcement. So you may see more police, more inspectors, and that will become the argument for even more government costs as opposed to less. Alberta, I think, has got a model that you could look at that's a lot more efficient.
So your concerns is that the way things are set up right now, this could actually cost more.
It could wind up costing more, and ultimately then be even more unsuccessful in fighting the illicit market. Because after all, we've had marijuana as an illegal commodity for decades, and it hasn't disappeared. Despite the intense activity of police, illicit drugs are still there. So given our history, it doesn't look like even more enforcement will be more successful than it was before. And that's actually the opposite of the way that other people are going with this across North America, is to say this is a commodity we should restrict and regulate and control somewhat, but get away from enforcement. I think I wouldn't be surprised if the next thing you saw in the budget or 6 months or 8 months down the road from now is a request for more police officers and more enforcement and more inspectors.
Is this it? I mean, do you think everyone's just going to have to get up and suck it up and get in line at Canopy? Or is there room for improvement here? Is there time?
I think there's lots of time to change this. And I think the government may well find more pushback. It depends on, as retailers get into this and we get farther into the process. This is just the very first week, the very first day. I think you'll see more as we go by. Whether the government will change, if you look at other things, government's changed its tune in a heartbeat. Bad story appears, government changes. That same thing could happen here. And you'll see continuous and changes. Maybe they'll get down the right road and the easy road, but we're not there yet.
I really appreciate your time, Ed.
Thanks for having me.
That was Ed Hollett, a senior research fellow at the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. I want to hear what you think of what he had to say. If you want to weigh in, you can call the Morning Line 576 525